Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now to give you the opportunity to call and get an immediate answer to your question or to discuss the issues in your life right now. Number 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC, or the full number 844-322-2742. Either way, it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Basic Gospel is simply this. Jesus Christ died to take away our sins. He was buried, and then he was raised back to life so that we could have life everlasting. And we see that gospel message right there in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. It's one of the great passages in the Word of God. And right in the heart and soul of that is the love of God. Why did God send Jesus to die? Why did God raise him back to life? Because of love, because he loved you and me. In verse 4 of Ephesians 2, it says this, "But because of his great love for us, God." What a great statement. What a powerful statement. Everything that God has done on our behalf is because of his great love for us. And here's why it's so great. You and I were dead in transgressions and sins. Yeah. We were dead spiritually. We followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. All of us lived at one time to gratify the cravings of our sinful flesh, and we followed its desires. Like the rest, like everyone, we were objects of wrath. We were in rebellion toward God. We were God's enemies. We were adamant about that. And yet God still acted on our behalf. He sent Jesus. And because of his great love for us, God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. That's the gospel message, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. The benefit to us is new life. Most of us think of it in terms of forgiveness. You could ask 100 people, what is the gospel? They may say a few things about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, but when it gets to benefits, they only think of it in terms of forgiveness or a place in heaven when they die. But the gospel is life. We who were dead in sin have been made alive together with Jesus Christ. That is grace,
yes.
And God did it because of his great love for us.
That's good news. That's Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us for this edition. We have plenty of open lines, though calls are beginning to come in. We'd love to hear from you. 844-32-BASIC, a toll-free call across the country and in Canada. 844-32-BASIC. Give us a call.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to England. We're going to talk to our good friend, Saab. Hi, Saab.
Hello, Bob and Richard.
Hello.
Nice to see you again, speak to you again. I couldn't through yesterday. My question today, in Matthew 24:13, could you explain to me that scripture comes to us, or that's been given to the that time disciples or the that time people, or could you explain to me?
Well, it's a good question, Saab, and this passage is one of the most interesting passages because we see Jesus speaking about things that were imminent as far as what was going to happen, and they did happen. The city of Jerusalem was besieged and destroyed, and every stone of the temple was torn down and just laying all over the place, and the Jews were scattered. All of that happened, but he's also speaking about a coming judgment. And here in this particular verse, "But he who stands firm to the end will be saved." Well, when we read the word saved, we're thinking about salvation, what I just talked about, death to life. We're thinking about that conversion experience. The word saved simply means to be delivered. And if we're here when the Lord returns, we're going to be delivered from that wrath that is to come. That's the promise. For those, they were going to experience deliverance back then. And I think that's what this passage is talking about. Richard, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, I think that's the primary meaning of it. But there's also an interesting parallel passage over in Ephesians 6 when Paul is talking about the armor of God. And when we read about the armor of God, we tend to think that our job is to grab the armor, put it on, and go charging out to fight God's battles. And that's not it at all. The whole point of the armor of God is so that we may be able to stand. And so in this kind of situation where you know, the love of many are growing cold and that sort of thing, and all of this trouble, the safest thing to do is to stand in the love and grace of God, unmoved by whatever Satan and his minions can throw at you. Because, I mean, you've got very God living in you by the Spirit, and he literally gives you the ability to withstand whatever is coming and then rescues us out of it when the time is right.
Yeah, I think in a passage like this, you know, last weekend, the 21 that were beheaded in Libya, just unbelievable, but they stayed firm to the end.
They did.
And that's a powerful, powerful testimony to the Word and inspirational to those of us who name the name of Christ. We wonder, what would we do in that particular situation? But in the promises of God and the love of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God and the power of God's Spirit living within us, we can know that God's grace will sustain us through thick and thin.
Yes.
And I think that's what Jesus is really saying, is that in Christ we're protected no matter what happens to us here. You know, whether persecution or even being put to death or being hated by all, in his grace, it's just the best place to be.
But I thought that verse is, who enters to the end will be saved. So that is applied to until the second coming, or I thought that's applied to until he goes to the cross.
I think you have to take it as the wider meaning, because what happens is a verse like this is true in every situation in which we find ourselves. To his immediate listeners, he was talking about the soon coming destruction of Jerusalem and the loss of Judea as a country. To us in our day, you would be standing firm against, you know, people who hate Jesus. If you're in Libya, you might have to stand firm in spite of the fact that the ISIL terrorists are killing you. But none of this is about you and me in this time. This is about you and me as children of the living God with a promised eternity that is the basis of our hope.
Right. But some people using this verse as they're saying, oh, you have to maintain your holiness, you have to maintain your behavior.
Yeah, and that's not what that's not what he's talking about
at all.
That would put the responsibility for salvation on our shoulders, our ability to persevere under severe trials. But the responsibility of our salvation, of our going from death to life, and that life being sustained for us, is squarely on Jesus' shoulders. He was the one that died. He was the one that was buried. He was the one that was raised back to life. And what he's saying is, basically, I'm going to be with you through thick and thin. Count on that. Count on that. So there's no sense of taking this passage and using it as a hammer to beat people into better behavior or to more holy living. We see Peter denying the Lord three times after his death. I mean, it was such a right before, but he was afraid even after the death and even after the resurrection until the Lord came and really restored him. And so we can count on the love of God no matter what we're going through. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, and that's what we need to be convinced of.
That's right. So one more quick question. Grace of God is applied to only the spiritual, right? Most people saying, I'm standing here by grace of God. Oh, I've been, I mean, when they're driving, and then if they don't have an accident, or if they, you know, they said, grace of God is saved me.
Well, there's common grace. I mean, just the fact that we have air to breathe, God chose to make that happen. Just because we have water and the warmth of the sun and all of those sort of things, that's common grace. But the grace of God, the unmerited favor, the gift of that's free to us is new life in Christ. The fact that we were once dead and now we've been made alive. That's the grace of God that the Bible really talks about. And that's available to anyone who simply receives that life through faith in Jesus.
Right. So the another grace, common grace available as well then.
Sure. I mean, how did the rain falls on the just and the unjust equally? I mean, God doesn't take pleasure in anybody who's to die, so he reaches out to everyone all the time. But the grace that makes the difference in your life is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. That's the grace that makes you alive in Christ and cannot be taken away.
Right. For the material blessing, for material things, earthly life, just for the material blessings, it's not we can't apply grace of God, isn't it?
I don't believe you can. Those are things that are the result of hard work or luck in some cases, good people and bad people earn money, have jobs, make a living, and all of that.
That would come under common grace type of deal. Well, Saab, thanks for your call. We always appreciate hearing from you, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Open lines, and the number is 844-32-BASIC. If you have something you'd like to discuss, a good opportunity right now, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Butler, New Jersey, and talk with Norma, listening to us on our great affiliate, WMCA. Hi, Norma.
Hi, how are you?
Doing wonderful today. How can we help you?
Well, I know that you've talked about this before, but I need more clarification. Can you tell me the difference between your spirit and your soul?
Well, the soul is really the mind, the emotions, the will. It's basically our personality. It's our chooser, you know, our thinker and our feeler, so to speak. But the spirit is something that's at a deeper level. And it's the aspect of us that makes us contemplate purpose and to ask those meaningful questions like, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? So animals, you know, if you have a pet dog, your dog has a personality. And you know what's going on inside of that dog by the wag of its tail or the lack thereof. But it has mind and emotions and will. But a dog isn't sitting there asking those big three questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Doesn't plan its day. Doesn't do any of those things. It isn't longing to know God. Well, deep within our spirits, we're longing to know God. And that's what differentiates us from the rest of the animal kingdom. And so the spirit is that deep part of us that longs for a connection to the one true God. And that's what we experience through faith in Jesus. When we come to him by faith, it's a spiritual regeneration. Our spirit is made alive. And that gives new substance to these souls of ours, these personalities of ours. Does
Thank
that make
you.
Sense to
Thank
you?
Very much. Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
Well, you are welcome, Norma. Thanks for your yes. call today. Let me put you on hold. I'd love to send you a copy of a book, Love Is, on 1 Corinthians 13, just for calling us. So you hang on, okay?
Thank you.
Love
Thank
Is
you,
and many Norma. Other important resources are available from store.basicgospel.net. You can go to our regular website, basicgospel.net, click the store link, and we encourage you to go there and look around. You'll find many materials that will aid you toward a better understanding of the Christian life and growth and maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. And speaking of that, we have just 15 days before this wonderful conference in Vacaville, California.
We do, and we just can't wait for that time. It's going to be a wonderful experience. We've been to the Northern California area many times
sure.
in our ministry history, and we have such wonderful friends there. We're looking forward to reconnecting. We're looking forward to meeting some new friends, but doing so all around this gospel message, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what sets us apart. That's what makes us different, not the things that we do. It's what Christ has done. Well, we need to know how to apply His death, burial, and resurrection to everyday living. How can that make a difference in my marriage, in my relationship with my kids, and how I do my job? Well, it can make a huge difference and will make a huge difference if we learn to simply abide in the love of Christ Jesus. And that's what this conference is all about. Come join us. We'll have a great time of teaching. We'll laugh a lot together. It'll just be a wonderful time of fellowship. Come join us.
Absolutely. The radio team, Bob, Richard, and I will be there, and we hope you will too. You can get all the information from our website and the events tab at basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with Billy, our operator, to get information and to get registered. That number, 844-412-2742 or 844-41-BASIC. Either way is a great way to get registered, and we would love to see you on March 7th at Valley Church in Vacaville, California. And, of course, our genuine thanks to our great Northern California affiliates, KFIA and KDIA, for yes. their great support in publicizing the event and really supporting us in every way.
Yes, indeed, and also to Valley Church.
Yes, absolutely.
Just lots of people rolling out the red carpet mm-hmm. for us. Come take a walk on it with us.
That's a good way to put it, Bob. Well, again, open lines, 844-32-BASIC. Want to hear from you. Time on the clock, and we'd love to get your call right now, 844-32-BASIC. In the meantime, a question from either Yana or Jana, I'm not sure which one. Anyway, she says, thank you for all you do. I listen to the broadcast each day on my way home, and it brings me such peace and more understanding of the Word of God. Well, her question is, do atheists hold themselves accountable for anything? She says, since atheists are attempting to take God out of almost everything and being supported by our government as well, do they realize their part in the destruction of mankind? She says, I just don't understand what their end result would accomplish.
I don't know what their end result is myself. I do know this, if they have any sense of accountability, it's either going to be to themselves or to mankind in general.
Yes.
They're not going to have any accountability to a higher being. They don't believe he exists.
Right.
Or nobody has proven to him that to them that, that God exists.
Uh-huh.
And so they just live as practical atheists, as if he doesn't. So man and existence right here and now is the pinnacle. There's nothing beyond death. Life is just here between birth and physical death. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you grab for every ounce of gusto. Of course, with that philosophy, that can lead you in several different ways. But no, they have no accountability to a higher being. It's just to themselves or to mankind in general.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean that atheists are immorally acting people.
Right.
Many of them are very moral people. You would love to work with them or play baseball or basketball with them. The key issue is the issue of belief. That is mankind's fundamental flaw. By definition, by birth, we don't believe that Jesus is real. And that's the repentance and conversion process, is coming to that realization that Jesus is who he claimed to be. That's what you hope an atheist, an honest atheist, would eventually come to, but they may not. It's the belief issue, not the behavior issue.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Absolutely. I always wonder, too, you know, it says in Ecclesiastes that God has set eternity in our hearts. Yeah. And so there's a longing within each of us for something more. I've yet to meet a person, regardless of their belief system, that doesn't say that they think that something's missing, that there's something not quite right with them as a human being. And I think those are all signs or evidences of this truth that we talked about at the beginning of the broadcast, that we're dead in trespasses and sins, that we are being pushed along by a world system.
Yes.
You know, atheists think that here's this God that is pulling strings and we're just like puppets. And, you know, the reality, that's what the world does. That's what the world system does. We think we're free. We think we're independent, but that's not the case. But within that, there's this sense that something's missing. And you just don't hear, you know, these atheists today talking about that.
Yes.
Yet they're trying, you know, I think that's what compels them to do some of the moral things that they do, and the charitable things and the philanthropic things that many atheists do. I think they're trying to connect to something that's missing inside of them. Well, what's missing is God, and that God has made himself available to us in the person of Christ Jesus through his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah. Jan, I hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you.
Well, let's go to Diana, who's listening to us in Freeport, New York. Hi, Diana.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. I just have a question. I want to know why in the Christian church they don't give the bread and wine as often as the Catholic Church.
Well, Diana, every Protestant church is a little bit different on how they handle the Lord's Supper or the Eucharist. There are some denominations that do it every week.
Yes.
There are some denominations that might do it once a quarter. There are other particular churches, maybe independent churches, that just do it as they feel so led. So there might not be a schedule of it that, you know, on the third Sunday of you know, the third month of every quarter, we're going to do it. But that's kind of the freedom that God has given us. But when it's offered, we should recognize it for what it is. The word Eucharist, that word charis, is grace. So we are giving thanks to God for the grace that he has bestowed upon us in the person of Christ Jesus. So regardless of when or how many times we take it, it should always be the most joyful occasion that a Christian experiences.
Yes.
Why? Because we're celebrating this new covenant that Jesus brought into being through his death. We're celebrating the very love of God that saved us. We're celebrating the life of Christ that we share one with another, and the participation in the body. So it is the most joyful occasion that we can experience as children of God. So when you take it, do so with thankfulness in your heart and joy there for all that Christ has accomplished for you, Diana. Sure appreciate your call. You hang on. We'll send you some information as well.
Yes, indeed. And friends, our heartfelt thanks to each of you who has supported Basic Gospel with your prayers and your financial gifts through the months and years. And to those of you who have just recently joined us, we thank you as well. Truly is it a partnership. And your support is the fuel that keeps the message of the grace of God on the airwaves and online through Basic Gospel. We hope you'll continue to help get the word out via Basic Gospel. The online support link is always available in the menu at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or during Central Time office hours, you can speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. That's 844-41-BASIC. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again on Monday after a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bye-bye.